Well, good morning, everybody. Good afternoon. It's another hour of truth. I am Paul Muller. I have Phil Walthall here and James Usler on Skype right before our very earlobes.
Good morning. Good afternoon, everybody.
Good morning.
It is a gray and chilly day. In the South Carolina annex of the Fishman Ministries. I didn't get a chance to listen to Steve, and James says it didn't appear that anybody got much of a chance. So, while some of the stuff James was talking to me about before we went on is interesting, and I might like to visit some of that again. I always like Hebrews 11. It's one of those chapters where the redundancy, it's probably not a good word. There's a negative connotation to that. Hebrews 11 says, by faith, how many times?
A lot.
Five or six times in the first nine chapters. I mean, verses.
Yeah. By faith appears, so many times. And, you know, chapter 12 talks about seeing we have this so great a host of witnesses. These are the people that were cited in 11 as being faithful. And when he starts getting into the examples in 11, it says, by faith, Abraham in 17. It always says, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Isaac, by faith, Jacob. It doesn't say by virtue of them being highly esteemed by the people that they lived with.
18 times.
Thank you for counting that out for me. I'm going to let you carry it for a moment.
Okay. You said he started at 17 by faith. Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And where this is taken, this is at, is that Abraham, the promise was through Isaac. The promise was through Isaac. And when God had promised that, and God had told him to go and sacrifice Isaac, he was obedient that the promise was through him, and he believed God to the point of offering Isaac, that he would even raise him from the dead, because the promise was through Isaac. Didn't say any other son, it said Isaac. That's why it highlights here that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. But Abraham believed God to that point, even raising him up from the dead.
A man of great faith.
He believed God and his word and his promise.
And it, this is faith that is an expression and extension of God's faithfulness. And it is the faith that Jesus Christ had that he could do the will of the Father, that he had authority over everything, had been made subject to him. He could cast out devils, he could heal the sick, raise the dead, you know, multiply portions, because he did what the Father gave him to do, and he said what the Father gave him to say, and he had a total and complete reliability on the Father, and the humility that kept him in line with doing exactly what he was given to do. It gets down to verse 22. It doesn't say because Joseph was received of the Pharaohs and placed in this place of power, the promise from Abraham transformed to an inheritance to his, generations following him. It says by faith, he had the same faith, the same belief in the Father to carry out what his promises are. You know, that's the faith that saves us. That's the faith that gives us unity in one body with one mind to function in his place here on earth.
Look, he had, by faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the parting of the children of Israel. He knew what the promise was to Abraham. And he had faith in what the Lord was able to do. Now, how the Lord performed that was really a neat thing. And it didn't look, if you take a look at the scripture and go back, when Joseph died and he reaffirmed the promise that was at hand, then they go into bondage and into Egypt for, so many X years, unto the most powerful nation in the world. And the Lord delivered them from them and also killed them. And I'm talking about the Egyptians here.
Killed Pharaoh's army.
Delivered from Pharaoh and from Egypt and killed the Egyptians. Okay. So, what you have is here
not
is
just
that.
Not just, which that would have been a miracle in itself, but it was such a miraculous and obvious. It was that everybody could see what was happening. It was not done in the dark of night and subversively, under the table. It was a great and vast deliverance for all to see.
Amen. And the one thing is it was the most powerful nation in the world. And the reason why it was the most powerful nation in the world was because of the 7 years of plenteous and the 7 years of famish. They were able to collect from everybody else. When the famine came, Egypt had the goods. And that's how that worked. And that was all part of God's plan in working that out. Of course, Joseph brings this up and tells him to his children once again that this is not in that order, but this is what's going to come, is that you will get the promised land.
Robin says, Machad Rahab gives testimony of it 40 years later. That's right.
Yeah. Right. So you have, but this was all part of God's plan, and these all received by faith God's plan and what he was able to do. Not of them own selves. Forgive me, fellas.
We need some mega doses of vitamin C or something. I don't know. The choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season.
Can I mention something real quick? I'm sorry, on this note.
Go for it.
The other thing was this was not to be done in a corner. This was to be made manifest that, the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, the God of Israel, that is the true living God, because only the true living God could do this. That others may believe with the nations around. The nations around believe in all these idols, but that they can turn unto the true living God.
Well, you know, when Moses...
It wasn't to be the God, not to be hidden from the other nations either. You know? It was to make himself manifest.
When God had Moses deliver him out of Egypt, it wasn't just Israel that came out with it.
It was a mixed multitude.
Mixed multitude. There were believers who came out from those nations whose testimony was a fear of the God of the Israelites.
And some of the Egyptians came from them.
Yeah. So, the testimony of God's deliverance was throughout all the surrounding nations. They knew it. They knew of it. And they feared that God. They didn't serve him, but they feared him. The opportunity, however, was
there for
them to receive them.
That's the other thing. I mean, they could have turned. I mean, it was a choice that they could make. You know what? I turned from these idols. I turned from this God with no power unto the one true only God, the God of Israel. I mean, it was a choice for them to make. That's what God wanted to make himself manifest to the people.
He hasn't
on the earth.
Changed. Hasn't changed.
Hasn't.
I'm starting to think I should have put up a repeat. all this stuff that's going on here.
I apologize.
And it's not just you, it's me too. It's you know, it's a joy to be here and do this.
Amen.
James, you're quiet.
Well, you know, if you look at verse 24, I think you did read that in 20, or at least 25, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. That choosing rather in the beginning of 25 was he laid his own life down. He gave up his own life to serve the Lord.
I mean, yeah, I mean, look at it. I mean, but look at Moses here for a second. He's in the Pharaoh's household. I mean, you're talking...
Raised
as royalty. I mean, you get anything you want. You're talking about the most powerful nation in the world. Anything you want, be given to him.
And the end, you know, is where it's pleasure of sin for a season. You know,
right.
that would have only been pleasurable to his flesh for a time, and then it would have been torment after.
Absolutely. But rather, he turned to do God's thing.
And that was by a fear of the Lord.
Amen.
By faith, verse 27, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. You know, he saw the king. He saw the king's kingdom. He saw the king's authority. He saw his troops. He saw the abundance of the Egyptians. But he was willing to forsake all that to see that which he had not seen yet. And as seeing him who is invisible, he ends up seeing him too.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. This was more along the lines of, I mean, by faith he forsook Egypt. I mean, he went up to the king over and over and over again and showed him God's power. I mean, at any time, I mean, I mean, you think about it, the most most powerful nation in the world, And you're going up to the king saying, look, let my people go, or such and such. You know, look, let my people go, or such and such. Knowing his armies, knowing, like you were saying, seeing his armies, seeing the most powerful nation in the world right here, but still yet going to the king. But when I was looking at, for he endured at seeing him who is invisible, and that could be wrong, in that, look, he's seen the Lord. He's seen the Lord. Him is invisible. Look, he had seen the Lord. And, you know, I don't know if that's pertaining to that. I could be wrong on that. But that's... But he feared him more than he feared the wrath of the king.
Right.
Amen.
He feared the one that wasn't visible to everybody else.
But, well, you know, the thing I was driving at is... He may have seen him at this point. I don't actually remember. But he definitely saw him when he was getting the tablets.
Yeah, absolutely.
In fact, he carried his glory back down with him, and the people didn't want anything to do with him.
And to the also to the point of, I don't know. I don't know if he's seen him beforehand. You're right. That's a good point.
But he endured... As if he had seen him.
Yeah.
And it's the reason I don't believe he had seen him yet is because he said, as seeing him who is invisible.
Right.
So just to this point, he was invisible to him as well.
All he's seen at this point was a burning bush.
Right. Right. And, you know, of course, the phrase that occurs to me here is it's kind of the promise that anybody around here remember the Popeye cartoons for I'll gladly pay you on Tuesday for a hamburger today.
No, I don't.
This is that kind of promise that the Lord has made. I'm not trying to disrespect what's going on here, but it is a promise. That was a promise to pay. And, of course, he had questionable delivery on those, but he never had any money, so he wants nothing to eat today on credit. You know, God's promise is more sure than the promise to pay that we do conduct business with daily here in our natural existence. It's most of it is based on our promise to pay, but the deliverance of the Lord wasn't just sure, and it wasn't just seen by Israel. Wimpy, that's who it was. Thank you, Carter. Great goodness. Of all of us in the chat and online, the one I knew would know who Wimpy was Carter. That was the hamburger. I'll go ahead and pick it. Yeah, that was him. That was Wimpy. Thank you, Carter. Oh, I'm dating myself. Oh, and I do appreciate it, Carter. I'm not being facetious. Oh,
can I say something, Paul?
Sure.
All right. You know, this whole thing is about faith. And earlier, Steve had mentioned a gentleman in the Vermont service that was telling a bunch of people about the power of God, and, you know, getting them all to come where they could be prayed for and healed. And speaking of the power, and this whole time he was under the assumption it wouldn't be him praying for him. So when he gets everybody there, it's left to him. He's the one that has to stand up and do this, and he hasn't ever had to do this before. So here he's give testimony of how great the Lord is and how powerful he is. And now the Lord's trying his faith, because now he has to stand in what he said, you know. He's going to be accountable now. And the first person he prayed for was healed. And I think he was as amazed as the other people. But the reason the Lord honored it was is because he stepped out in faith. And not only was that there an instant of a testimony to further the power and the greatness of God, but it was also there to build him up in more faith, you know, to strengthen his own faith. And that faith is the same faith that we're talking about here.
Amen. Amen. Because these were all actions.
Absolutely.
Faith, believing God. I mean, we go to James and he goes, I show you my faith by my works. You say you have faith. But see, this is one where they, in action, went out in action because they believed God.
You know, and had he not stepped out in faith and prayed for that person, it would have not been a testimony about the Lord. Do you know what I mean? These people would have been able to go back and mock and anything else. But since he was willing, you know, it only furthered the testimony.
The SGC and K.
That's going to be Scott, Gail, Charlie, and Karen.
Right. Put in the chat, John 8:56, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. And of course, the Pharisee's response to that is, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham? Yeah. Yeah, that's right. So, you know, Abraham had a faith-based testimony that he had seen accomplished in the Spirit. He had seen the blessing that he was going to get from, that they were going to get from his seed through Isaac. And deliverance that the Lord, it wasn't just the deliverance of Israel or deliverance, it was deliverance of everyone who had received, was fixing to be offered. And all this other stuff was just building up to that point.
What you have is, Abraham knew the gospel. I mean, Abraham, the Lord had showed him the gospel. And
Abraham believed.
Abraham believed
in his righteousness.
You know, follow into that of the thing too. I think the Lord tells him, "For Abraham was, I am."
When he's being questioned by the whoever it was, the Sanhedrin or whatever, and he says, he's taking custody of him, soldiers, I believe, were, and he says, I am, and but they fall backwards. The power of that statement knocks them backwards. The clarity of exactly what his claim was not missed on those people. And the power that claim entailed was evident to those who were trying to deliver him to execution through faith. He forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. If we destroy the firstborn, the destruction isn't just going to be limited to that. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which for the Egyptians a saying to do were drowned. These are not just these are not evidences of their faith necessarily. It's evidences of the faithfulness and power of God to deliver for His people, to show up for His people.
And he, but they had a faith. They had a faith in what He was able to do,
right,
not of themselves. They had a faith not on a presumptive faith or a faith of their own capability or because they had faith, this was it. No, they just had faith in what the Lord was able to do and perform. And even at that point, through faith, He kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. At that time, the people had faith because they acted in obedience, seeing the power that was smiting Egypt that time.
Right.
At that time, the people had faith as well. And when they killed that Passover with that blood on the doorpost and lintels, that
what
that,
what I'm trying to say is that it isn't just the faith. We're not just talking about the actions of the sighted people here proving their faith. It's them proving God's faith, God's faithfulness, and willingness to deliver through the ages and past where anybody in the natural can see His deliverance, His grace and mercy are new and fresh every day, and for all who will avail themselves of it, it's there for them. And that's really the testimony of this By faith. What you're seeing here is the faithfulness of the Lord to meet those who trust Him and call on Him.
Amen. Good point, Paul. Good point.
Talk to me, James. Are you still there, James?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was on mute.
There you are.
Hey, can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I think what you were trying to say, Paul, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like our faith is believing that God is faithful. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah. You know, this by faith they passed through the Red Sea.
They believed God was faithful and was going to deliver them.
Right. You know, I sit there and...
you know, it's a... go ahead, I'm sorry.
We see this and we take this as examples of their faithfulness, but it's, like I was saying, it's not their faithfulness. It's God's faithfulness is what it's testimony of.
Look, I want to read something, and this kind of clarifies the point that you're talking about, the point that you're talking about, James. If you actually go back to Hebrews 11, Hebrews 11:11. Let me put it that way. Through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised.
Amen.
That's right.
That's the best way I can put, you know, that I know how to say that.
That's right.
What you guys are talking about.
And that judgment, based on experience with the Lord, enables people of faith to demonstrate the faithfulness of the Lord. It gives people opportunity. That's what the ministry is about, is to give people the opportunity to see the faithfulness of the Lord. How the Lord shows up for people when they need Him. In absolutely the most desperate situation, He shows up for them. While they're yet sinners, He shows up for them.
Yeah, it's not about how good we are.
Amen.
It has nothing to do with that.
It's been that way all through the ages. It hasn't changed just because society's degenerating or just because, you know, man's hardness of heart is getting worse and worse and worse. It is still the offer is still there, the hand still outstretched for you if you'd received it. And that's such good news that it's a blessing to be able to give good news to people. It's really a tough place, a tough time that we're living in. And you need this good news. You need to be able to offer people hope. The hope here is you too. Because you believe and judged him faithful, you can show his faithfulness to people. How good is that?
Amen. It's like saying, it's an example of showing how faithful he is. I mean, because we even have testimony. I mean, let's look at this, guys. We even have testimony of where God has met us when we weren't faithful. I mean, let's get, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
I mean, we have testimony where the Lord's met us just to that he proved himself. When we're sitting back wringing our hands and not knowing one way or the other how this thing is going to go down.
Sure.
But he's yet showed up. I mean, he did that with the children of Israel.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're not to walk in that unbelief, God forbid, but the Lord's good and his faithfulness is there.
That was his love with grace and mercy.
Yep.
By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encompassed about 7 days. Now, all they did was obey. They didn't do anything. You know, there was no battle. Right?
Right.
In fact, they ended up, what we're doing, screaming, shouting, singing.
Shouting for 7 days?
Yeah. I mean, this prove them or did it prove God?
Prove God.
Absolutely.
The whole thing proved God from the grip.
Yeah. Yeah. And we, you know, we get to Rahab that Robin pointed out. Perish not with them that believe not, when she had received the spies with peace. The Lord's good. You know, what shall I more say? The time would fail me to tell. You know, and he gives all the examples. You know, how much time have you got? There's more examples than you can shake a stick at. And the opportunity to be able to give good news to people who receive it, to bring life to the dead for those who can receive it. It's what we're about. And, you know, God has honored us with that mission. It just doesn't get any better than that. You know, and that's what our job is, to prepare other people to go out there and do likewise. And then, who is thy neighbor? the one who took care of the guy. Yeah, so go out and do likewise. Go out and do likewise. Go out and do likewise. It's
reminds me of the Good Samaritan, Paul.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I was quoting sort of that paraphrase quote. That was the end of that. Who then is my neighbor?
And we also encourage one another to remind us of the goodness of the
Absolutely.
Lord. Because how many times just us that know, that have been touched by the Lord, we need remembrance of these things all the day long. When times get situated,
so
when situation
service,
gets
you thin. You got the goodness of having the Word here. You got each other.
Absolutely.
That, you know, can prod and poke you and exhort you comfort you.
Amen.
With the comfort that, you know, comes from the Lord.
Amen.
It's that is being partakers of the divine nature. That's what he's been doing since the Garden of Eden, right?
And we have that opportunity, and all those opportunities when situations gets heated up and things get heated up, just like back then. I mean, you look at, I like that part where Moses comes and says, okay, you know, God tells him to go to the children of Israel because by your hand, you're going to be my messenger. I'm going to deliver them by your hand. And he goes, okay. And then when he shows a sign, and they beat the servants worse, and are the slaves worse, which were the Hebrews at the time. And, you know, even, you know, Moses goes to the Lord, man, ever since I came, this thing has gotten worse. And the Lord reminds him quickly that, you know, the Lord reminds him quickly that, hey, don't worry about it. Let me tell you the promise again. Let me tell you the promise again. But what was happening was you seen a strengthening in Moses' faith. You seen a strengthening. So when the situations come up and heat up, it's actually a good thing, because then you can stand in that place of having counted him faithful. Or how it says in Hebrews, judge him faithful who had promised. We can judge the Lord faithful who has promised. We can judge the Lord faithful who has promised that there's deliverance on the other side. And when that happens, the glory goes to him. And it's manifested. It's manifested for the people. And for also the hearers. And it brings forth a testimony that you can bring to the people that don't know the Lord. That they can see it as well. God is good.
And all the names that he goes through into verse 33. And through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, and turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. You know, I think of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, I will be delivered of you this day, O King. Doesn't matter how this works out. And, you know, that's a confidence, an assurance you can receive. You can walk in that. That isn't just something for them.
It wasn't something for them, or he wouldn't be applying it here right now.
Right. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, more, over of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder. Yeah. They were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. This sounds like something we all want to aspire to, right? Unfortunately, you suffer rejection from those who are dying and going to hell and don't want, they want to be their own guys. You know, we want to call the shots. We can be like God, knowing good and evil.
And here's the condemnation, that men rather prefer darkness rather than light. And then they hate the light. They want to kill the light, as they did with Jesus.
Of whom the world was not worthy. These people were too good.
It goes back to that men prefer darkness, and, you know, our deeds are evil. And if we don't lay our own life down, We can't break from that bondage.
Their testimony was, it can be done. All you have to choose to decide it's all worth it. It's worth whatever it takes to get there, to receive it.
Right.
It's funny, it says, of whom the world was not worthy. You know, I look at that. We were never worthy to receive what the Lord has for us. We were never worthy to receive that. No. Life abundantly. Life with Him. Life eternity. Peace with God. We were never worthy to receive that. And these guys that were example, that were sawn asunder, tempted, and were staying with... were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They had faith in Him.
That's why it's saved by grace, Phil.
Absolutely.
Not by works. You know, we have no way of being worthy.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They had. They have a testimony here that they were faithful. But they didn't actually get the promise delivered to them. But we... have had the deliverance that's been made manifest to us. And... how good is that?
You know, look at Abraham. Abraham, and I don't know if this would be the right context, but you look at Abraham and you see that Abraham, there's going to be a great nation called. That was a promise. Right. Well, he had Isaac. And then, you know, he might have had Isaac had his son, and then Abraham might have died. He never seen the great nation. You remember Esther. Esther went, and I mean, what she did was out of faith, and the deliverance was the deliverance for the children of Israel and to get back Israel. But you know, she stayed behind and with the king.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's what when I look at these things, and these guys, they were tormented, afflicted, and all these things. But you know what they receive? Not in this life, they receive eternal life in heaven with Him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, that's how I'm looking at this. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong on that, but that's kind of what I'm seeing there.
Yeah. The kind of...
you know, where he says, God have provided a better thing for us. Oh, for us. Okay, gotcha. Never mind.
When I read that, you know, about... wandering in desert and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. You know what I think about? Well, I think about Elijah and Jeremiah. I also think about John the Baptist. He was just a term we use today. He was not user-friendly. I mean, he wasn't what they wanted to see. Of course, Jesus turned around and was not what they wanted to see either. But they were the Lord's messengers. They were the Lord's deliverance. They were the Lord's ministers of grace and mercy. They were the opportunity delivered to repentance and life. And, you know, The Lord is good and He's faithful through the ages to deliver that same message of reconciliation through Jesus Christ between man and Himself. So what did they put in there?
I liked what they put in there. They said, this also has to do with God's righteous judgment of the world, the treatment of the faithful in every generation, and the ultimate crucifixion of Jesus Christ makes God righteous in judging the world at the end.
Yeah.
And I think that was pertaining to that part, and I kind of was trying to hit really, because the world was not worthy of even those that he kept that was faithful to the Lord,
right.
Or wasn't worthy of them either.
Right.
But ultimate to the crucifixion, the dying on the cross of Jesus Christ.
The execution of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, who... You know, we aren't worthy, but the world wasn't worthy of those who counted him faithful in that.
Yes. Right.
And the world's not even worthy of that. Who brings the truth of the gospel?
And you know, their enemies.
That's the point I wanted to bring up.
I mean, they're enemies of those who would serve the Lord in every generation, and they treat them like crap. But you know, the Lord's bigger than the enemies, and if it serves alienating you from the rest of the world, what's that to you? You're called to be different, and because you can, because he's provided a way. And there's absolutely no reason for you or anybody who would hear you to perish. This is the good news of the ages, man. It is a testimony, you know, not so much of faithful men and women. It's the testimony of a faithful and righteous God who still hears the cries of his people and still shows up in great displays of deliverance. And it's just him constantly proving how good he is, that he would take one who was once alienated and an enemy and offer him mercy and grace, and then give him a ministry to deliver that mercy and grace to somebody else. It's just better than it gets, than you have a right to expect or even request. So, I'm kind of gathering that Scotty's not going to be up. I think we've reached the end of our ability here. I know both of us' voices are being taxed greatly. You got anything for us, James?
It's amazing, even in our own lives, even with all this witnesses, how easily, I think, you know, in Hebrews, it's, you know, how easily our sin doth beset us, that, you know, even with this great cloud of witness,
yeah, we... Very next one, too, yep.
I mean, we can still stand in unbelief, you know, and it's just amazing. It makes me think of the rich man and Lazarus, where, you know, he wants, can I send Lazarus back? And, well, you know, if they don't believe the prophets, and I forget who else, you know, they aren't going to believe someone raised from the dead. And, you know, I mean, the testimony's there. It's, you know, it's an active decision that we all have to make.
It sure is.
I don't know.
The sad thing is, it was also prophetic that just because someone raises from the dead, like I'm fixing to do, Doesn't mean they're still going to believe.
Right.
It doesn't mean they can get it. So, I think we're going to call it a show, and we will. We'll see y'all next week, and may God bless everybody.
May God bless everyone.
May the Lord bless you all.